Hey, brother, what's up, man?
We are getting ready to do one of our infamous rack and stacks, but this day we're only doing two, so we can do that in our sleep.
We could do that in our sleep. As a matter of fact, I still am asleep, but sometimes you might not know the difference. So,
Yeah.
yeah, we're going across the world today. I mean, we're going to have our good buddy, pal, brother, the sales doctor himself, Marvin Montgomery, in just a minute, and then we're going into Aussie land later today, southern Australia, where I don't know, it's like just like 2047 and on a Wednesday there or something. I don't know. The time zone is really weird. But anyways, we'll talk about that later. But yeah, we're blessed to be back again with the sales doctor himself. And I don't know about you, but every single time we talk to him, we get marvinized again. And it's just never stops.
We do, and I've got a couple of friends that are named Ed that I always say whenever I talk to them, I get an education. And
Yeah.
you just took the fire away from me. I was going to tell you, getting marvinized is one of the greatest feelings in the world because not only is he just a genuinely awesome human being, but the side that he brings to building wins, which is basically just being a incredible influence in the sales world. I mean, I gotta tell you, we are blessed beyond words to know Marvin and the people that he introduces us to.
Oh, there's no doubt, and the one thing that I really love about Marvin, there's a million things I love about Marvin, but he does it the right way. You know, there's sales, and then there's sales the right way, and that's one thing I love about Marvin. So, what do you think? Do you think we should go get Marvinized again?
I think he is much better than yours truly, so let's get
Let's
Marvinized.
do it. All right, buddy.
All right.
I'll be here. I won't go away.
Okay.
All right.
Welcome to Building Wins Live with host, the hybrid road warrior himself, Randy Chafee, and producer-director, Wes Wyatt. Whether we're talking about sales, marketing, tech, or industry news, we want to bring you the best tips, tricks, and info to build wins. Now, let's get to the show.
You got to be kidding me. Huh? Does it get better than this?
It doesn't. It
I
doesn't.
know. It's impossible. I looked at my calendar this morning because I knew, because I looked at it yesterday. And I said, today is Marvin Day. And that's all. I've done nothing else. I didn't even take sales calls. I said, nope, I don't need your order. I just want to be ready for Marvin. Okay, that's a lie. You would not even respect me if I did that, because I know.
Don't put me in front of an opportunity.
Oh, well, welcome, brother. It's great to have you, man, as always.
Well, this is one of those situations where you can say it's great to be had.
Perfect. I love it. I love it, man. So how's things in beautiful Cleveland or the suburbs
Well, I'll tell you
thereof?
what, I tell people all the time, two things I've been saying, alive and grateful. Things are going well. We're coming into a season right now. We're coming upon Thanksgiving next week. And so I really, one of my favorite months because it reminds you how we should have an attitude of gratitude. So
Ah,
feeling
love it.
grateful right now. Feeling
Love it.
grateful.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. And you've been doing a lot of stuff. And I know during our conversation today, we're going to talk about another event. We're going to see each other because I think I owe you breakfast because I believe you bought breakfast the last time. And that's really weighing heavily on my mind. Not overly heavy, but a little heavy. And so we'll see each other before then, but we're going to be in Knoxville together in a few months. We'll talk about that in a bit. But, you know, I don't know if you remember this, the first time we met, not only was I marvinized and turned on by your infectious smile, there it is, but I was turned on by your demeanor and the way you talk to the crowd and to the people. But I remember a quote, and I'm going to get this close. If I get it wrong, you'll fix me. But I remember you talked about in sales is don't or quit hoping and quoting, or don't
Yes.
quote and hope. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that? We was at it was a Buckeye Frame Builder Association meeting someplace many years ago now. And I love that comment. So that's a great place to start. Let's just start with that quote. What's that mean to you?
One of the things I've learned over the years and seen over and over and over again is how we put a quote together and then we hope that it goes somewhere. And that's why I came up with that. You don't want to do the hope and quote.
Mm-hmm.
Sales is a profession. And I talk about
mastering the sales essentials. When you master the sales essentials, it takes all the hope and quote out of it. It takes the uncertainty out of it. And there's a sales tip that I wrote a while back. It was titled Preparation Prevents Perspiration. You know, so when you go into that situation prepared, you're not quoting and hoping. Right. You know exactly what you have. And it's really not quoting and hoping, but it's really asking and listening. And if you ask and listen, then you're going to provide a customized solution, you know, to the person that's sitting across from you or on the phone with you.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's been what, like 5 or 6 years? Has it been longer than that? It might have been longer than that.
When I first started with that with that whole industry, it's probably been 5 or 6 years ago. And as a result of that, I've kind of got entrenched in doing a lot for those contractors, either in smaller groups or individuals that have me come in and do some training for their company. So it's been a lot of fun.
That's great. Well, and you bring an attitude that is infectious and an attitude to do it the right way, because there's so many sales pros, and I'm using air quotes with pros, right? That either do the hope and quote like you talked about that you shouldn't do, or they think they got to talk a lot. They think they got to, you know, spout all this mass knowledge they have. They got to become this expert in front of the eyes. And they're doing that all for the wrong reasons, to make themselves feel good and is ego oriented. Because I think you agree, at the end of the day, if I'm the sales guy in this relationship here, none of what I think and has to say is particularly important, right? It's what you have to say, and you're going to tell me exactly, use the words, we could go Zig Ziglarism a little bit and help you get what you want or need, right?
That's right.
Shorter term, sell. You're going to tell me how to sell you if I just
shut up and listen.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's another quote I've been using. Wise people know what to say, but smart people know when it should be said.
Ah, love that.
Wise people know what to say. I'm sorry. Smart people know what them. I had it backwards. Smart people know what to say, but wise people know when it should be said. So
exactly.
You got to be smart and wise. It's okay to be smart, but are you wise enough to know when you should keep your mouth shut?
Exactly. So reading into that, I like that statement, Marvin. So wise would mean knowing when to say it by listening, by asking questions, but then be smart enough to have hopefully the right answer when the time is there.
Right. Because there is going to be a time, you know, to talk. But
exactly.
Now when you talk, you want your message to be customized, spot on to what that person's concerns and issues are. And sometimes
exactly.
It's yes, and sometimes it's not now. And the beauty of asking and listening is that's how you come across as someone that's really concerned about that person's needs, instead of concerned about what I refer to sometimes as information dumping.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what you're there for.
Right. Well, and don't we, I say we, but as a sales profession at times, hopefully you and I don't do this, but it's easy, and especially for younger sales guys maybe, but I think it probably happens to all at one time or another, is they get that dreaded commission breath, right? Where it's so obvious to everybody that all I want from you is the sale. And if you'd really, Marvin, just like shut up and quit telling me your story and just sign this contract, that's all I really want you to do. And when we come across like that, I'd never buy from you. And secondarily, didn't we just do that dreaded thing that we never want to happen to us as salespeople, is to turn it into a transaction then?
And that's right.
That's the worst place to be, right?
Yeah, because there's, I talk about the four R's that come from the relationship that you're trying to establish, because we want to build that know, like, and trust, right? And we've all heard that.
Correct.
But the R's that comes from that relationship are extremely important. I the first R is I want that person to come back as a repeat customer. I don't want one and done. I want a repeat opportunity. The second R is I want that repeat person to refer me, because if you're happy, if the experience is good, whether you bought from me or not, Randy, I guarantee you're like me, Randy, because we're cut from the same cloth. You've had people that you've gone out and called on that did not order from you, didn't buy a thing, but they refer you.
Right.
And maybe sometimes they come back around down the road. So I want a repeat. I want a referral. I want to get requested you requested me to be on your show. I feel honored. I didn't have to be invited, right?
Right.
So you want to be requested personally, which shows that I think the best compliment for a salesperson is for a customer to call back in and ask for you personally. Because right. companies don't sell. People do.
Correct.
Then the last R is reviews. Because a lot of people won't do anything until they see what other people are saying. So what are people saying about you on the good old web, right?
Right.
What's because they're going to say something, you know. Yeah. And if you have a site or somewhere I can make a comment, what's that comment going to be? And again, the comment's not about the company. The comment's about you. So I want repeat. I want referrals. I want to get requested, and I want good reviews. And that's what's kept me in business, you know, on my own, you know, for the last 24 years. 34 years. Next year would be 35. 35 wow. years on my own, Randy. And
not bad for someone to be that's 41 years old.
Yeah, well done. I could not do it without those four things.
Absolutely.
I don't want to be chasing business all the time. It's nice to get a call and somebody says, hey, can you come back? I want to give you more money.
Exactly.
Or, hey, you know, Randy called me and said I should use you. I want to yes. give you money.
Right? Exactly. Yes.
Or they
yes.
request you. I mean, you can't beat those 4 R's. You can't yes. beat it. But you're
they
not
request you because they exactly. They say, Marvin, I would like to request you because I would like to hand you a check again if you don't mind.
Exactly. If you don't mind. Oh, yeah. No problem.
I'm a little tied up on Tuesday, but if you need me, I'll be there. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love it. Oh, no. It, and that's so true, Neil. You hit on something a minute ago. When you are doing those things, even with a customer that maybe you're not selling on a regular basis. In my world, I'm definitely more of a repeat business kind of guy because I'm a relationship guy and I'm selling programs. I'm selling, hopefully we put together a program with one of my manufacturers that we're going to do this forever would be the goal,
that's right.
Right?
That's right?
And so, but even if I'm not selling them something, what you hit on is so important. You know, one of my favorite calls is, and it should be, but when you hit a point where you understand it like we're talking, this becomes your favorite call. Because I guess your favorite call is, hey, I'd like to give you a check, right?
But, that's right.
Okay,
that's right.
So favorite call 1A would be, hey, Randy, you may or may not have this, but you're the one person in the world I know would be able to help me figure out where I could get this.
Yeah.
Those, because doesn't that tell you that
they trust you?
They trust you.
Trust you. Randy, they trust you.
Yes.
You have nothing to do with what they're calling about, but they trusted you to call and say, do you know anybody or you know where? That's probably one of the best calls you can ever get. I
absolutely.
Know you don't do this, Randy, but do you know who I should call? Oh, my God. Yep. What a great call.
And if you, anybody that listens to this is in the sales, I don't care whether you're 1 week in or 10 decades in, right? If you don't take that call with massive importance, you're missing such an opportunity. I will go out of my way to find them an answer.
That's right.
Whatever it takes, right? Because that is what will lead you to all these R's right here.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Love it.
You made a great point there. That's a great call to get that call.
It is. And I always do get excited about those. Now, I will tell you a little funny story. So one of my taglines or slogans that I use on banners and I use it on different things from time to time is, so my rep agency is Source One Marketing, right? Even though I buy from Randy.com because, well, why wouldn't you? And we've talked about a lot, and I want to talk about this in a minute with you, but it's all about branding Randy or branding Marvin, right? That's the brand. But I remember one time I started this, and I have it on a lot of things now. Somebody asked me if I had this, and I said, I was feeling Marvin, and we've hung out a lot, in a bit of a quirky sort of mood, right? And I said, but Marvin, you don't need that. And they looked at me like, and they go, they're confused. And I go, what? And he goes, well, I feel like I need this. I said, you don't need that. And they go, I don't understand. Why would you say that? And I says, because I ain't got it.
There was some humor in there. Yeah.
Exactly. And so that became something that's on a lot of my banners. It says, in quote, if we ain't got it, you don't need it.
You don't need it. Right.
And it's a joke. It's funny, but it's that quirky thing. So, you know, my point to all that is And you just such a great segue into it is there needs to be some humor and some fun and some enjoyment in the sales conversation, does there not?
Yeah. You've heard me speak before, Randy. And one of the first things I always start off with is I say, look, I have two rules for the next 45 minutes or however long I'm going to be with them. Rule number one is have fun. Mm-hmm. And I let them know that I'm going to have fun with you or without you. Because whenever you're anywhere for any length of time, it should be fun. So I ask people, are you having fun with what you're doing? Because if you're having fun, it's going to show. You know, so yeah, that's why I was excited about being on the show with you today, because I knew it would be fun. You know,
it's always fun.
Who wants to spend time somewhere where you're dreading the whole time that oh my God, this is not going to be. Yeah, it's got to be fun.
Well, it doesn't.
So we want to make it fun for the because it's an experience. Remember Maya Angelou? Remember her quote? People may forget what you said. They also may forget what you did. But one thing they never forget is what? How are we making people feel?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You can make someone's day just by putting a smile on your face and showing some interest and concern or some empathy. It's not about the sale. I always say, you take care of the customer's needs, the sale's right behind it.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, and that's a thing. It sounds foreign to, I'll say, rookies or newbies in the sales world, maybe, is that when did you really start selling a fair amount of stuff? Yeah. And it's when I stopped selling anything.
Yeah.
You know, I don't make a sales call. I don't even like the word necessarily. Yeah. I don't make a sales call, right? I don't look at it that way. I look at it as it's only going to be good, right, if it's truly a win-win for both of us. And if it's not good for me as the supplier, then we probably shouldn't do it. If it's not good for you as the customer, then we probably shouldn't do it. That doesn't mean we can't live to fight another day. That doesn't mean we can't find another opportunity together or dig into the 4 R's you talked about. Yeah. But it's still a win, is not, right? Is it not still a win, even if we don't get the sale, but we get the, like you said, the referral, the recommendation,
the review. You made the relationship. You made a connection. And that's how we should look at it. It's not a sales call. It's a connection.
Exactly.
It's an opportunity, you know, to meet one more person that can either maybe buy from you, right? I mean, let's not discount that totally.
You know, I like checks.
I'd like to be able to have an opportunity, but even more important, well, I'll tell you what, if I've made a relationship that you'll refer me, that you'll call me back the next time the opportunity may present itself, you'll give me a great review, because I've seen reviews say, you know what, I didn't have an opportunity to use him, but I'll tell you what, if you're looking for this, boy, give this guy a call. Because they'll still give you good reviews whether you bought from them or not. Because they'll sure give you bad reviews if they don't buy from you, and they'll tell you why.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well,
if you request it down the road, you can't beat it.
Well, you know, there's a fifth R, and you can have it if you want, because you did buy breakfast the last time. But reciprocal. People by nature are reciprocal. I mean, we just by nature want to help other people. If you do a little something for me, if you open the door for me, I want to carry your groceries out, right? I mean, that's just the way we are. At least most people are, right?
Yeah, they want to reciprocate. And I just saw that the other day where I was coming in. This lady was holding the door, actually a Cracker Barrel, just yesterday. So she's standing there holding the door while a family goes in. Mm-hmm. So it was my wife and I, we're getting ready to walk in. And I said, no, you go ahead. So I held the door for her, but then there's another door, inner door, right? So she said, okay, my turn. So you reciprocated, right? I mean, it's natural. Yeah,
it is natural. Oh, I know exactly. In those little vestibules, I've had that happen so many times where it's a guy. You know, it's not like we're more used to opening them for women because we're from that era, right?
Yeah.
But if it's a guy and he's coming up, I'll grab the door. Hey, go ahead. And you're right. Yeah, I can guarantee it, 90% of the time.
It's all right, my turn. Yeah.
Yep, go ahead.
But it makes it fun. It puts a smile on people. You know, people are so tense today, and rightly so for whatever reason, because, you know, hey, it's called life.
Right.
But if we can put a smile on somebody's face with some humor and a smile, and I'll tell you, it makes a world of difference.
What does?
It makes a world of difference.
It does. And so a thought, and this was not on my, not that I make notes, especially talking to people like you, but I did make a note as we was talking, because I love this question. And we didn't have a pre-chat about this at all. trust versus relationships. Which comes first? Because I know there's a lot of arguing about that. And well, I find I've bounced around. I'll tell you after, because you're the guest, where I finally landed, if you want. But I think that's always an interesting question. Trust versus relationship. Which is more important? Which comes first? How do they relate?
Yeah, I think they're definitely interconnected. And I always tell a story because I get that quite a bit when I'm doing training. And I'll use an example, a family example, because we have a person in our extended family that does painting. And not only is he a relationship, he's a family member. Okay. Mm-hmm. But based on the relationship I've had with him, because I had him come and do some painting, it didn't work out the way I planned. Right. Hmm. So I know and like him, but I don't trust him enough to refer him.
Right. Right.
You know,
exactly.
I think you can have a relationship with someone, but not trust them. You know, so yes. So I think the key is to have both. You want to have the relationship, you know, because there's books out there, like, you know, on relationship selling. Well, you can have a great relationship, but they still don't trust you enough to buy from you.
Exactly.
Especially if your product or service may have a tendency to be more expensive than somebody else's.
Correct.
So
correct.
You have to earn that trust. So the relationship, yeah, you can work on that, but you got to earn that trust.
You do. Well, and I love that answer. So I promise I'd give you mine for what it's worth.
Yeah, I want to hear yours.
I pretty much really agree with you. I believe that it's easy to develop. Let me back up. Easier to develop a relationship than it is trust, because a relationship is nothing other than, I just meet you and we decide to go have a cigar and a bourbon together, and we kick it off and we have a great time. So we've developed a bit of a friendship relationship, right? But I have no reason to necessarily trust you yet.
That's right. That's right.
And some customers, as we found, even as a relationship seller that I am, I've learned over years not to force more relationship than what the customer wants. Right. Because I may want to be a relationship like I have with you, Marvin. We're pals. We're buddies. If you're in Naples, Florida, I'm in Cleveland, Ohio. And if you don't call me, I'm calling up and yelling at you. Right.
We're going to be mad at each other. Exactly.
Right. Because that's what we love. But we all started with relationship first and then built the trust level. So you can hang with somebody that just have a good time and not necessarily want them to install your screen door. Pick a product. But you can also have a lot of customers that I found over time that I want to trust you. And as long as I trust you, I don't necessarily want to go to lunch particularly. I don't really want to do any of that stuff. I don't need you to come to my kid's softball game after work. I don't want that.
That's right.
Because I got lots of people in my life and I don't need that from you. That's just not me. But by God, I trust you. Yep. Right.
And that goes back to, boy, I'll tell you, just hit on something too, because there's people that trust me enough that put me in front of their sales team, mm-hmm. or to put me in front of their meeting. I'm going down to Missoula, Montana next month to speak at a all company Christmas party. Hmm. Now that's trust, because you got to remember, the person that's bringing me in there, he's trusting that I'll do a bang up job where I won't embarrass him. Now,
right.
Who wants somebody coming up to him after I speak and go, "Oh my God, what were you thinking when you brought this? You brought him from where?"
Yeah, you could have found somebody better up on one of the mountains.
Right here, right. You know, so and it's the same thing with you. When you have people come on your show, you may not have cigar and bourbon with them before or after, but you're trusting that, you know, they're going to represent themselves well, so it'll be a good show for you. So you're right. I think it's two separate things, because you can have a relationship, but they don't trust you to go any further than that.
Right.
You know, so I think the trust is extremely important.
Well, and I think even piggybacking what you just said, so you can have trust and they will still be a customer.
That's right.
Maybe for life. But if you and you might have only trust and not a lot of relationship, there's got to be a little,
right?
Because trust is a relationship, right?
Right.
But that might be the only part of the relationship that you really have, and they'll still buy from you forever, never leave you.
That's
but,
right.
But the flip side is you may, like you just said, you may have a massively great relationship and yuck it up and talk sports and do all the stuff. But if they don't trust you, you might get a little tidbit here and there only because they like you.
Right.
But you're not going to get the big business because there's always going to be a reason. The reason is they just don't trust you. They like you, but they don't trust you. So I think you, as you said earlier, the perfect scenario, the perfect porridge, you know, do the three bears thing. The perfect porridge is they have a combination of both, right?
Because you'll have people that don't really, you don't have that, you don't feel that connection going in, but they trust you though.
Right.
And then maybe 4, 5, 6, I can give you a perfect example. It probably took for this one client that I worked with early on in my career, it probably took 4 or 5 years. And all of a sudden he says, "Hey, Marv, I got 2 tickets to the Guardians game or Indians game," or, "Hey, what are you doing? Hey, my wife and I, how about you and I?" But he didn't say that initially, you know? So I got the trust, which I got the opportunity to do some training for a sales team, but the relationship developed over time. So I've seen it happen in the reverse too.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. That's awesome. I knew we'd be on the same page, but it's always one that's, I like to ask a lot of guests and a lot of people I talk to, because I always think it's an interesting scenario that, well, I have a great relationship with them. Good.
Yeah.
But do they trust you?
Yeah.
And like you said, relationships can literally can happen over one cigar and a bourbon.
That's right.
You could become pals.
That's right.
But trust never is going to. Trust is built.
But you never feel comfortable enough. You never trust me enough to really bring me in or to use my service. Exactly.
Exactly. Love it. Love it. So you have, we're going to be together, hopefully before somewhere or another, because I'll be in the Cleveland area. But I think we're going to be in Knoxville, Tennessee here in maybe the first part of April, the National Frame Builders Association repeat speaker like a million times or something, I think.
It can't happen soon enough. It's marked on my calendar. And when I got the call, I said, absolutely, absolutely. Looking forward to it. And I know NFBA is probably one of my favorite places to speak, because every time I speak there, I get a ton of people calling me afterwards saying, "Hey, can you come in and do something very similar for me and my company and my people?" I mean, without fail, Randy, without fail.
Love it.
Which goes to what we're talking about here today. I built the know, like, and trust in that 30, 40, 45 minutes. And I've been fortunate to have standing ready. They always tell me, "Marvin, we know we got to bring more chairs. Standing room only for your workshop." And what a good feeling it is when I see the people pouring in.
Exactly.
And they say to me, "You're one of the reasons why we came this year."
Yes. I've heard that said many a time, Adam, and you never fail to bring the fire. Yeah. And back to what we talked about, you mentioned a few minutes ago, as the NFBA, which, as you know, I'm on the board.
Yes.
The fact that as a board, we trust you that much.
Yes.
And believe in you that much, because it's pretty important that we have good speakers, that we have good presentations. Because our reputation as a show is on the line. If somebody shows up and everybody comes to see this Marvin guy everybody's heard about, and you basically, you know, suck it up, right? I mean, that's not good for you, but it's not good for the association either, right? So that's where that whole trust comes into play again.
Yeah, they're trusting me to represent NFBA in a very professional manner. You know, they don't have to be on pins and needles and go, "Boy, I wonder if this is going to be good." That's the trust. They're not wondering. They're not hoping. Remember, hope, quote, hope.
Yep.
They're not hoping Marvin's going to be good. The trust is already there from the past experience.
Absolutely. You can literally, everybody can leave the room, shut the door, and go have a coffee and come back 45 minutes and know that the audience was in good hands. And that's important.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's the trust. Yeah. So Knoxville, how long do you know before that date, how attendance is looking?
Well, right now I know the exhibitor space is filling up quickly.
Okay.
We're going to have a really, really good packed show floor again. We'll start knowing on the attendance, cause it's still a ways away. It's not till April 2nd or 3rd, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, whatever that is.
Yeah.
So very first couple days of April, it might be the last day of March and first two of April, whatever it is. So it's a little ways away yet. But I think it's going to be, all indications, it's going to be a really well attended show. Okay. I think Knoxville will be interesting. We've never, as an association, done Knoxville before. It's okay. A new one. We're going to have two back-to-back new ones. I'm not sure. I'm not going to say where the next one is because I can't remember if I'm supposed to be sworn to secrecy on this yet or not. So I'm going to stay secret because once I let it out of the bag, you know, I mean, it's a little hard to bring back.
Watching our program going, I can't believe Randy let the
cat out. Wasn't supposed to say that. But I think I like the idea of going to some new locations because we've done so well at Nashville, so well at Columbus, so well at Indianapolis, Des Moines, Iowa has always been a really good location. We've only been there twice, but I like getting to two locations for two things. One, I think that new city, new vibe, maybe you may, as you go further to the east and the south, you may lose a couple of people from the Dakotas or someplace that just, it's a little far.
Yeah.
But you also pick up some people in the south that won't go to Des Moines, Iowa, right?
The other direction. Exactly.
So yeah, I think that's cool. And I think when you attend these shows, and we always want to look at it from the attendee standpoint, not what we want. But I can tell you as an exhibitor as well, being at the show, I like to go places where there's something new to see and do and experience, yeah. Right? And Knoxville's a great town. So it's a fun town. I like Knoxville. I don't know if you spent much time there, but.
Yeah, I've spoken there before in the past. So I'm looking forward to getting back there. Yeah. Anything around Tennessee is always good. Yeah,
exactly. Always good. Yeah, we're looking forward to having you. That's going to be some great stuff as always. So
I'm polishing up my talk. One of the things I've been working on recently, I've been doing, well, you know, I do a lot of work with companies that do in-home type sales, whether it's residential or commercial. And I've been working on the 8 or 9 step process, depending upon what type of company it is. And the HVAC company, I do like we talked about the 9 steps, the 9 opportunities you have that's going to make or break this relationship that you're going to try and establish and build that trust. And I talk about pre-call. The first one is pre-call planning. You know, what does that pre-call planning look like? You know, some companies I work with have an opportunity to actually listen to the call. You can go on a site and see what the house or the commercial building looks like. You can go on LinkedIn. You can go on Facebook. In other words, what kind of information are you gathering, you know, to prepare you for this opportunity? Second opportunity is a lot of them will actually call the customer to let them know when they're on their way. And I talk about what does that sound like? What does your call sound like? Because that's your first impression when you call them up. And introduce yourself and let them know that you'll be at their home within this time or that time. So we prepare and practice that. Third opportunity is when you get to the door. You know, that's that greeting rapport.
Right.
We know customers can see you when you're pulling up now because they have some type of camera, you know, facing their
right. Drive. Exactly.
So you got to be on your P's and Q's as soon as you're pulling in, right? So yep. I talk about what should that look like, the greeting rapport. And then once you get inside the building, whether it's a residential or commercial, how do you set the stage? What's the stake you put in the ground? Now, do you give that verbal agenda that says, hey, Randy, thanks first and foremost for your time here today. Let me share with you what the next a few minutes are going to look like. Because I appreciate your time. And you give them that verbal agenda. Remember, you tell them what you're going to tell them, then you tell them, then you tell them what you told them, that whole thing there. And then you sit them down somewhere because they're expecting you to do an information dump. But no, where can we sit just for a few minutes, Randy? Because I really want to learn more about what your expectations are, what you're trying to accomplish, what some of the issues that you may be facing right now. And then once we do that, then we'll go take a look at that furnace. We'll go take a look at the roof. Whatever you're there to take a look at, because you want to do the verbal assessment and then the visual assessment. Yeah. And then once those two are done, then you're going to come back and sit at that same table or couch or whatever you're sitting in. Then you can provide that customized solution. So what does that sound like? I was actually working with a company today on that, presenting the solution, because you got to present that solution with some excitement. You got to present that solution with some zeal, some passion, but also selling the sizzle, not just the steak.
Right.
And then closing for commitment. Once you present that, you got to try to close. And then if you don't close it, then you're closing for a follow-up opportunity. So I get people to talk about each one of those areas specifically, because you got to master those. You got to master those 7, 8, 9 areas. And preparation and practice is a great way to do that, because you know my mantra, those 5 P's, preparation and practice provides peak performance. The way you practice is the way you play. And someone told me a while back, and they said, Marvin, don't practice until you get it right. Practice until you won't get it wrong.
I love words, that.
You know, that muscle memory. So you have to think about it. Just automatic.
Exactly.
Opposed to a scripted and robotic.
Right. Well, you know, and that goes back to when you, Wes and yourself and I were chatting pre-show. We talked about Michael Jordan, right?
Oh.
Why do you think somebody as great as him would still shoot thousands of free throws with the lights almost gone in the gym and he's out there by himself? Because he had to be ready game time, game 7, you know, championship on the line type stuff, right? And the only way you do that, and I love some of those, you know, I remember if I believe it was him or somebody else would always, before they do free throws, they'd always do some of those, they call them suicides, but you know, through the free throw line back to the center line.
Yeah, that's the conditioning.
And then go right there and shoot, because that is when it counts, is fourth quarter, you're drained, you pushed hard, and you got to go to the line with, you know, 25,000 people screaming and 10 million, 23 million people on TV watching you, sweating, you're dying, you can't hardly move. You got to step the line, make the
free throw to win the game,
right?
Or tie the game, or extend the game.
Whatever the case is. So, beautiful.
There was an interview I saw, an old interview of Magic and Bird, right? And they're sitting there back, going back and forth. But the one thing that stuck with me is what you just said. Bird said he would go out there and shoot, I don't know how many jump shots, and shoot and shoot. And then he'd get ready to walk off the court. Then he'd start thinking, oh, my God, Magic's probably still out there shooting. So
go shoot some more.
On the court and shoot 100 more or whatever.
But
it's competitive. And got to remember, sales is competitive like that. I think sometimes we forget there's nothing more competitive than working in an industry where people historically are going to get 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 quotes, right?
Mm-hmm. So exactly.
You're going to get one shot at this sometimes. Mm-hmm. So how prepared are you for that opportunity?
Right on. Love that. Love that. Well, Marvin, you've been incredibly great with your time. One last thing before we get out of here.
Yes, sir.
Tell me about Marvin Jr., the better looking of the two.
Well, you know what I said to you before we actually even got on here this afternoon? I've been reduced to Marvin Jr.'s dad. So people come up to me now and go, oh, my God. You're Marvin Jr.'s dad?
do you correct him and say, no, actually, he's my son?
But I'll tell you what, he's doing extremely well, and we do need to do a father-son thing.
Let's do it. I love that. See, let's do it.
He's been someone that I've been very proud of. The start of business during COVID at 19 years old. He's 22 now. And for those that are listening that don't know what we're talking about, he's got a business called Kicks and Cuts, and it's sneakers and streetwear that these kids love to wear, and barbers. He's got barbers that will cut your hair, and he oversees that company in Cocoa Falls. But he ships sneakers out all over the country.
Love it.
If you go to Kicks and Cuts website, and if you're a sneakerhead, you probably know what I'm talking about. Go on his website, and he'll be more than happy to ship you a pair of, I don't go buy, I'll tell you right now, I can't afford that because I'm old school. I'm not paying $500, $600, $700 for a pair of shoes that I'm not going to wear.
But I'll tell you what,
young and old, when people who are into that, just like we used to do the baseball cards, the collector's items, well, people do sneakers like that. They collect them.
And so
people that come into the store have hundreds of pair of shoes that they will never, ever wear, but they buy and sell and collect.
Yeah. Hey, if there's value there because somebody wants it, right? Yeah. It's awesome. So as we get out of here, one last thing. should ask question. What do you wish I'd have asked today? Or what do you wish when you're out and about? What are you doing sales talks? Just find somebody at the grocery store. What do you wish somebody would ask, Marvin?
I think there's the question that I'm always waiting for someone to ask me is, it goes back to actually something you've already said. What is a salesperson born or is a salesperson made? You know, and I'm always waiting for the shoe to drop for somebody to ask me that. You know,
you hear
the question, the natural born sales, is there such a thing as a natural born salesperson, or are you training people to be in sales? Well, I always say it's a combination of both. You know, I think the natural born salesperson is that person that really has the ability to be a good what? Good listener.
Listener. Yep.
Most people have to be trained, though, to be a good listener. And that's where I spend a lot of time on active listening, you know, nodding your head, leaning forward, asking questions, you know, being silent, mastering the art of awkward silence. What did I say? You know, smart people know what to say, but wise people know when it should be said. So it's teaching people that wisdom that selling is not telling and talking. True right. selling is asking and listening.
And, you know, you talked about that awkward silence. So many people have a hard time allowing more than about 13 nanoseconds to go before they got to fill that silence. And you're right. If just sit there and listen, just wait. It seems like forever, right? And you know, the other thing that I try to do, and then I will let you get out of here, but I like to take notes partially because I sometimes not smart enough to remember, but secondarily, I think it shows that I'm caring about what you're saying. So I like to, and it's not all for show because I do need to know and want to remember, but I think it says something if we're talking and Marvin, you tell me that you use X number of fasteners a month. And I says, you said 20,000 fasteners a month, Marvin? Yeah, okay. If you write that down, I just told you I'm listening. I told you I care. And I told you I'm probably going to go do something with that information, right? As opposed to just listen to you yap so I can come back and say something smart, right? But great. Well, Marvin, as always, it was beautiful to have you on. I appreciate your friendship and I appreciate your brotherhood and keep bringing the Marvinization to the world, man.
Thanks for the opportunity and look forward to seeing you in April.
You got it. If less before.
Yeah.
I will not sneak.
You know, if you ever come this way. And you do. That's how we got together that last time. So
yep, we'll do it.
Love to meet you for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Whatever works for you.
You got it, brother. Appreciate you.
Take care. Hey, and happy Thanksgiving.
You as well. Have a blessed one.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. So now we just got Marvinized once again. That's probably the 1,000,000th time. Maybe not that many, but I'll tell you, I never, never cease having a great opportunity with my friend Marvin, my brother. He's a good pal, a good buddy, and just so good at what he does. So I'm going to tell you, if you get a chance to see him anywhere, anytime, you got to take that opportunity to be the best 45 minute to an hour and 15 that you've ever spent. So with that, let's get out of here for another day of racking and stacking here at Building Wins Live. As always, Wes in the background just making things happen. And remember, you only go around once on this planet at least, so live it, love it, own it. You do what we're doing right now, which is love what you do and do what you love. And go make today your best day ever. Till tomorrow. Cheers, my friends.
Thank you for listening to Building Wins Live.
You can find information on Randy, Wes, our guests, show notes, and anything related to the podcast at buildingwins.live. On behalf of the whole Building Wins team, don't forget, make today your best day ever. Until tomorrow.